for the first service this morning. I'd like to preach on the crucifixion for the main service. So if you would, please go with me to Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12. And we are looking at the last verses of chapter 12, basically the second half of it, of the chapter, starting in verse 9. Let's go ahead and read these verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Excuse me. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this passage, Lord. It's instruction for us. Father, help us to live by it and to obey it in our lives. Bless this time, Lord. Pray that you would count for eternity. Help us, Father, to grow closer to Christ this day. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. The title of the message is The Path to Perpetual Spiritual Revival is Knowing and Then Living in God's Will. A long title again. But the path to perpetual spiritual revival is knowing and then living in God's will. We're here at the end of Romans chapter 12, the second half of it, and all the way to the end of it. This is the end of the chapter about knowing the will of God. The end of the whole chapter. How to know the will of God. The opening statements of this chapter told us that God requires from us a surrendered life, a separated life, and a mind and life continually renewed in Christ Jesus before God. Before God will begin to reveal what He specifically wants for our life and out of our life. So we have to do three things before God will begin to reveal more specific areas of what He specifically wants us to do with our lives. Then we saw in verses 3 through 8 that they describe the spiritual serving graces that God bestows on His children at their salvation. And those verses basically explain that God's specific will, His specific will for every child of God, will always be to use their serving grace to serve other believers within a local church. God would not give you and me, you and I, a serving grace that He did not intend for us to use. That would be redundant of Him to do that. Of course, if He gave it to us, God wants us to use it. God's will is for you to use your serving grace, which is God's spiritual gift to you, for the edification and strengthening of His body, other believers. And now we're moving on to this last section. This last section gives us a shotgun list, like a blueprint, if you will, or an outline, or a checklist for what God's will always looks like in a believer's life. This is a checklist for what God's will always look like in your life. If you are praying about something, maybe it's praying for whether God will allow you to buy something. Here's a checklist to compare it to. Does what you want to buy for yourself allow and encourage each and every one of these items on this list? Does that allow what you want to buy? Does it allow and encourage these things to be in your life? If it doesn't encourage or help one of these things, and it discourages these things, then God's will almost for sure be no. That's not God's will for you. Does what you are praying for or praying about encourage each of these items? Then God might very well be saying, yes, that's his will for you. Or he might be saying, yes, that's my will for you, but wait a while. But wait a while. You see, this is how your life and mine, these verses are how your life and mine are supposed to look like when we are living in the will of God. The path to perpetual spiritual revival is knowing and then living in God's will. Point number one, the will of God always includes zealous Christian living. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 again, please. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Now, before I get too far into this, each one of my main points I could talk about as the point all the way through this whole passage. It could be a point all the way down through the whole rest of the chapter. But I'm just talking about a couple of verses for each one, okay? So as I mentioned my main points, think about how it applies, the whole passage applies to that main point as well. But the very first thing that we are told is, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation, there's a fancy word there. What in the world is dissimulation? Well, Webster's dictionary, his 1828 dictionary, defines dissimulation as, quote, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. Okay, end quote. So dissimulation may be simply concealment of opinions, concealment of sentiments, concealment of purpose. But it includes, Webster goes on and he says, but it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purpose, end quote. Okay? So it's pretending. It's not being fully honest. As you talk to somebody, you're secretly or sneakily getting some information out of them for your own purposes, or as you tell them about yourself, you're being sneaky and you're not telling all about yourself. You're not being wide open. You're not being honest. You're hiding something for some reason or another. That's dissimulation. And God says, let love be without pretense, without pretending. Be open, be above board, be honest, fully honest with one another. Okay? We're to be genuine. Be genuine, a genuine Christian. Don't talk in riddles. When you talk to somebody and you're trying to tell them something important, don't talk in riddles. Don't talk with secret meanings behind your words. Be genuine. Parables have their place. Parables have their place, especially in preaching. But when you're trying to communicate a truth to somebody one-on-one, stop trying to communicate in metaphors so much. Don't try to communicate with a story and then leave them hanging so that they have to interpret the story. Well, I wonder what he meant by that story. It's frustrating when you're trying to talk to somebody and all they'll tell you is they'll answer you with stories. It's like, I wonder if we got anywhere today. I wonder what he meant by everything he said. That's dissimulation type of speaking. Nobody really knows for sure what you meant. They just have to interpret whatever it is you said. I guess he meant that. So don't talk in stories. Don't talk in riddles. Be genuine. Be sincere. Be open and above board. Your love and care needs to be completely genuine and honest without a secondary agenda. A secondary agenda. Let love be without dissimulation. It's a command. We have to do that. So, but then it goes on in these opening two verses. And notice we see some interesting words here in these first two verses. We see love. We see the word abhor. We see cleave, affectioned, and we see brotherly love. Just in the opening two verses, we see a whole bunch of words or phrases expressing passion or zeal. Zeal. God apparently wants his children to be zealous in their walk with him. Zealous. Zealous about him. Zealous in our worship of him. Now I know we come to church and we sit here quietly, but maybe God wants us to be a little bit zealous as we sit here and worship him. That could be. It sounds a lot like he wants us to be that way. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It's fine to say amen or praise the Lord in church when the preacher's preaching. That's totally fine. In fact, it helps the preacher. It encourages the preacher. Keep on going. You're on the right track. Keep going. Keep preaching. But God wants us to be zealous in our worship of him. God wants us to be zealous about anything and everything that has to do with God. Anything that has to do with God, God wants us to be zealous about it. He wants us to be zealous of how we live our lives as disciples of Christ. Let's read through the rest of this passage again, please. Looking at the zeal God expects to see in us. We've read the first two verses. Like I said, these main points can go all the way through the rest of the passage. But let's look at the zeal. Not slothful in business. There's a little bit of zeal. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Zeal. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Ready. There's some zeal there. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. You know, blessing is a lot more zealous than just not doing anything and walking away from somebody. There's some zeal there. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Excuse me. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. There's some zeal there. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're to be zealous of our walk with the Lord. Excuse me, I'm going to get a bottle of water here. I'm already getting dry. But zealous. God wants us to be zealous in our Christian walk with the Lord. It's supposed to be exceedingly important to us how we walk with our Savior. So the will of God always includes zealous Christian living. Number two, knowing the specific will of God for you, knowing the specific will of God for you will require living out the general will of God. To know more specific will for your life, God requires you to live out his general will. Verses 11 through 14. This is a very general list of things that ought to be in a Christian's life. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Notice that phrase, serving the Lord. You want to know what God wants for you specifically? You want to know if you're supposed to be a missionary? You want to know if you're supposed to be a preacher or a preacher's wife? You want to know if you're supposed to be a plumber or a doctor or a lawyer? You want to know something specific from God? He says you better be serving the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, he's not going to talk to you. He's not going to tell you anything more than he's already told you, you see. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Very general list. These things are something that every Christian should have in their life. There's nothing specific there. God is telling us if you want to know more specific things about you personally from me, you need to be doing all of these things already. Why should God tell us more if we're not already doing what he already told us to do? That makes no sense, does it? God says, you want to know more from me? You'd better be doing these things that I'm telling you about already in my word. So these four verses describe some things that were told us by Christ long before Paul wrote them down here. Fervent in spirit, Christ talked about that. Serving the Lord, Christ talked about that. Rejoicing in hope, Christ talked about that. Patient in tribulation, he talked about that. Continuing in prayer, he talked about that. Blessed them which persecute you, blessed and cursed not. That's a quote from Jesus Christ. So it's all things, most of this is something that was taught long before Paul is reiterating them here. And the rest of the things it says in those four verses are mostly just common sense things from the Bible. Don't be slothful in business. Of course, if you take a look at the whole Bible and consider what the whole Bible teaches, that's the idea of the whole Bible, common sense. We're not to be slothful in what we do. And by the way, in business there doesn't just mean business. It means whatever you busy yourself doing. Whatever you are busy doing, that's your business for the day. Don't be slothful in it. So it's not just talking about our job, our business. It's talking about anything we put our hands to. That's our business for the day. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. These are common sense things from the Bible that you automatically would know from knowing the rest of God's word. So he's just talking about the general will of God here. If we aren't busy walking in the Lord's will already, why should God tell us something more to do? He says, I'm not going to. I've given you some general things every Christian should be doing. If you're not doing those things, I'm not going to tell you more, is what he's telling us in this passage. Too many Christians do not know what God's will is for their life because they refuse to obey what God already told them to do in his word. Too many Christians don't know what God's will is for their life because they have refused to be obedient to what he already told them to do. You must obey and live out God's plain speaking commands in his word before he will tell you specific things about your life. About your life. He won't tell you more until you've been faithful with what you already know. You see, God will reward obedience. Knowing his will is one of his rewards for obedience. If you want to know more specifically about your life from the Lord, well, that's a reward. That's a blessing from God. He says, I will give that to you if you're obedient to me, if you're obedient to do what I've already told you to do. Remember that principle, if you want something done, get a busy person to do it. If you want something done, get a busy person to do it. Well, God has the same principle. God has the same principle. I mean, where do we think that came from? From the Lord, probably. He will only give a more important job to someone who is already busy working for him. You won't get promoted by God from sitting down and not doing anything. You're not going to be promoted by the Lord. He's going to promote somebody who is standing up and working for him already. He will give them more to do. He will only reward those with more knowledge of his will, whom are already busy doing his will. So knowing the specific will of God, you want to know what God has for you in your life, requires you and I to live out and be obedient to the general will of God. Number three, spiritual revival. Spiritual revival hinges upon living in the will of God. Do you want spiritual revival in your life? I want it in my life. It hinges upon whether or not you and I are willing to live in God's will. What does that mean, to live in God's will? Be obedient to his will and stay in his will. Stay living in it. Verses 15 through 18, please. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Spiritual revival hinges upon living in the will of God. Each and every one of these things, in the whole list, not just these three verses I just read, or four verses that I just read, not just those four verses, but each and every one of these things in this entire passage, when you take each one and add it to the whole, you get a description of Christian living. You get a description of Christian living. This is how a Christian is supposed to live. And God says, if you live like this, there's going to be spiritual revival in your life. There's going to be some excitement for God in your life. There, you're going to be blessed in your walk with God. You're not going to need to have a revival for you in your church. You're going to be walking in revival day after day. If you want revival in your life, then God says, get your life in line with my will for you in these verses. That's how we can have revival. Get our life in line with every one of these things in these verses. This is spiritual revival. This is what it looks like. Zealously following after Jesus Christ. Last main point this morning. Living a life that is continuously revived or perpetually on fire for God requires keeping your life in God's will. Keep your life in God's will. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A life of revival is one that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and enabled by Him to do the hardest things. That's spiritual revival. One that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and enabled to do the hardest things that God wants us to do. One of the hardest things is avenge not yourself. Avenge not yourselves. When somebody does you wrong, it is one of the hardest things to control the desire to get even. But God says, don't do that. That's not for you to do. You should not be concerned with getting back at someone. That's God's business. God will take care of it. Spiritual revival, continuous revival, requires keeping your life in God's will. But as soon as I step out and try to take vengeance for myself, I have stepped out of God's will. I have stepped out of God's will. He says, avenge not yourselves. He says, give place unto wrath. Does that mean I should make a place for my wrath? No, that's not what it means. It means give the place that was going to be for wrath to the Lord. Give the place that was going to be for wrath to God. Don't let yourself get upset about what so-and-so did to you. Give that to God. It's God's. He'll take care of it. There's no more place for wrath there now. It's God's. And then he says, do good to those who hurt you and hate you. These are the three of some of the most hardest things for Christians to do that he's mentioning here. Avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath. Give it to God. Do good to those who hurt you and hate you. Some of the hardest things in the Christian life to do. He says, if you want to live continuously revived, perpetually on fire for God, you're going to have to keep your life in God's will in these three things. All the rest of them too, but specifically these three hardest things that he's mentioning here. Don't let yourself get wrathful. Don't let yourself get angry. Don't let yourself do wrong to those who wrong you. Do not try to avenge yourselves. A life of revival is one that is always overcoming evil and sin in their life. Notice the last verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A revived life is not overcome of evil. As soon as we allow ourselves to be overcome of evil, we are not living a revived spiritual walk with God anymore. To be in God's will, in other words, means we have to be in God's will. That sounds pretty simple, but it's pretty hard, actually. Well, I want to be in God's will. Then stay in God's will. Then be in it and don't stray from it. Don't do your own thing and be disobedient to these things that God is telling us to do. This is when you actually apply these things, this is a huge, hard list to be obedient to in our sinful body, the natural man. This is impossible for the natural man to do, in fact. We can only do this with the Spirit of God's help. A life of revival is never overcome of evil. Never overcome of evil. If you want to be in God's will, stay in God's will. Don't be disobedient to it, or else you're not in God's will anymore. We have to actually be there in God's will to be in God's will. Well, I was close to God's will. I was close, but you're not in God's will anymore. Close only works in horseshoes and hand grenades, as the saying goes. Close doesn't work for God's will, does it? If I'm close, I'm not there. If you want a continuously revived life, you have to get into God's will in obedience. You have to stay in God's will in continued obedience and only live in God's will, refusing to be disobedient. Refusing to be moved. Keep your life in God's will. This is the Christian's checklist. A guide to know whether or not I'm in God's will. A guide to know whether or not what I am considering doing, or considering buying, or considering becoming, any of those types of things. He gives us a checklist here. You want to be a doctor? Well, why do you want to be a doctor? Run your motives. Run your motives through this checklist. Is being a doctor going to help you in your walk with God? Or is it going to hinder your walk with the Lord? Now, I don't know. I can't answer that question. But this is a checklist to go through. Let's read it one more time, please. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How are you doing? How am I doing? Does my life line up with this checklist? If not, I'm not walking in God's will. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this list that you've given to us very plainly here in your word that we can double check our life against. Father, help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to desire and want to be in your will. Help us to be obedient to what you've told us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.